1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 25. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand, or some believers come in, unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and he will be judged by all, and that the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you.
Good morning, 8 a.m. So before I get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that we'll quieten our minds and allow us to hear you speak to us this morning. Lord, open our hearts to your words so that we may be changed as we leave this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here we are again, back at spiritual gifts, specifically the gift of tongues and prophecy. This even after 2 weeks ago, John opened up chapter 14 explaining to us that the gifts that the church has are diverse and spread out in a way that benefits the whole body. One body, many gifts. Then in chapter 13, Ken showed us that the things we do as a church including the use of spiritual gifts, if they do not include love, they are nothing. So why is the Apostle Paul picking spiritual gifts up once more? And especially after 2 weeks ago, being reminded of a divide that happened 40 years ago. Now, I wasn't even born when this happened, and in my 5 years of following Jesus, have not encountered anything that that event must have caused. So when I read through this passage, I don't have the same memories of the past, but I did feel the emotion in the room when it was mentioned. But despite the past, it is important that we cover this passage, because tongues, although can cause divisions amongst believers, is still very much alive and well, and is a good gift in the right circumstances. As the saying goes, there is a time and a place for everything. But is it possible that Paul in this chapter isn't wanting us to focus on all the ins and outs of these two gifts, but to make us ask ourselves a question? What kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to be a community that is built up by one another, or an accidental collection of individuals? Is church all about my needs, my walk, my private spirituality, or is it about participating and serving in your role as a member of Christ's body, strengthening, encouraging, and comforting each other? After last week, Paul wants us to have a long, hard look at ourselves and ask, are we St. Paul's following the ways of love? Is it possible that because of the modern cultural habit, just like that of the Corinthians in the first century, we place more value on spontaneous outbursts of spirituality over the structured and thought out? I mean, of course, being Anglicans, we already know which one we prefer. But if someone was to erupt in tongues right now, I guarantee it would be the talk of the whole church for weeks, months, or even years. Talk about how amazing, how exciting, how spirit-filled that moment was. Or perhaps talk about it in the complete opposite. Meanwhile, ignoring that each and every week there are brothers and sisters that are tasked with the responsibility of praying on our behalf. And from the quality of prayers I have heard, I would take a guess that it takes at least a week of preparation, thinking about what is happening at St. Paul's, current events, leaders in power in Australia and around the world, who might be struggling with their health, and much, much more. Yet, we take that for granted. But a spontaneous moment of tongues would become legend. And that's why we're back here again, talking about two speaking gifts as an example. So that we ask ourselves, what is more beneficial? To build up the church or to build up the individual? Paul wants us to understand that the church needs to move forward as a united body, not just going around and around in circles. So please have your Bibles ready to follow along as we ask ourselves, what kind of church do we want to be? The Church of Corinth loved theatrics, loved the big spectacle. Not only were they divided about who was the better speaker amongst them, when it came to the large amount of ecstatic gifts they were exercising, of course they were fighting over who was better, prophecy or tongues. And it seems that their services were ablaze with groups of people speaking in tongues and prophesying all at the same time, and it would have been chaos. And when Paul replied to the church after they're seeking guidance on the confusion over the use of these gifts, his reply is, chapter 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Paul is saying that everything I just told you about love is patient, love is kind, and so on, follow that and then eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And if you could pick a gift, pick prophecy over tongues, because the Corinthians, if they had the choice, would have picked tongues. From the first verse, we see that Paul is very pro-prophecy, because, chapter 14, verses 2 to 4, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, nobody understands them. They utter mysteries by their spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. We see here that no one can understand tongues except for God. This is a different gift to the gift the apostles had at Pentecost, which empowered them to speak in different languages that they didn't know before, so they could declare the gospel to people from many other lands and languages. But in this chapter, this is a prayer language that is only for God to understand. But prophecy will strengthen, encourage, and comfort the church. Paul's description of prophecy is vague, but I think today, with the understanding that it is God speaking and revealing things to his church, prophecy could be an encouraging word that speaks to a person's situation after the service or throughout the week. It could be a person sharing good application to a passage being studied in small group. It could also be a good message from a sermon that hits you right where you are. Simply put, prophecy is that word from God that is clear and makes you feel like the person saying it to you must have been following you around all week, because how else would they know to say exactly that right now? And Paul is saying the big difference is tongues makes a person feel good and builds them up, but prophecy benefits and builds up the whole church. Simply because no one can understand what the tongues speaker is saying. Chapter 14, verse 6, "Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation, knowledge, or prophecy, or a word of instruction?" If I stand up here and ramble on and on and on with no point, what good would that be? If I was just to make random noises, what would you gain from your time here this morning? It is much better to make sense and to bring something of worth. When I was reading through this passage during this week, I couldn't help but be reminded of high school. I went to a Catholic school, and we do Mass for the big events like Ash Wednesday, Easter, and Christmas. And they would bring a priest in from outside, and I remember it was the most boring experience I ever had to endure. And it didn't help but the fact that we could never understand what the priest was saying. All I can really remember is as he was doing communion, is he would hold the cup, and all we could hear was, and he would take a huge gulp of wine and repeat, and gulp of wine. And the only thing we got out of each and every service was the fact that the priest mumbled and he really liked wine. But he had an audience of thousands of kids, a captive audience that were there each and every time, and that's all we ever got out of it. And in verse 7, Paul uses an illustration of musical instruments. In the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? So just like our talented choir, how will the rest of us understand the direction of the music or the lyrics of the hymns we sing if they just sung what each of them wanted to at the same time? It would make no sense, and it would sound awful, and we would get nothing out of it. And you might be thinking that Paul really doesn't like tongues at all. Not true. Verse 5, he says he would like all to speak in tongues. Verse 18, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Verse 19, "But in church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words of instruction to others than 10,000 words in tongues." The gift of tongues is not a bad gift. It is a great gift in private. And if you have the gift, God be praised. But when there is anyone else present, there needs to be interpretation. And as much as Paul enjoys the gift of tongues, he would rather say Jesus Christ died for you than 10,000 words in tongues, so that you or a visitor can be edified. The only way the tongues can be used to build up the church is if someone is there to interpret the tongues. Verse 5, The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church can be edified. And even on your own, praying in tongues, Paul says that interpretation of your gift is better. Chapter 14, verses 13 to 15, for this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Now, modern Western culture, just like that of Corinth, feels that we need to separate, and believes and feels we need to separate aspects of ourselves, the physical, the intellectual, and the spiritual. But this is not the view of Paul, nor is this the original view of a Jewish person, or of the Jewish view of a person. A person is a rich, many-sided, complicated, but integrated whole. God does not see your body, mind, soul, and spirit as different parts, but as one whole person. God wants all of us in worship, our whole bodies, every aspect united and giving praise to God in worship. Verse 20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regards to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. When it comes to doing church together, we need to think like adults, not like children, fighting over who is the best and who is more important. We need to learn. Think through things carefully. Sure, when it comes to evil things of this world, be children. You don't need to see certain films to know they're bad. But when it comes to us coming together, we need to think carefully as adults. Because what we do matters, not just to each other, but to unbelievers coming into the church. How are we going to look to visitors if all we are doing, if they come in and all we are doing is speaking gibberish loudly? And although some churches may see a corporate time of tongues uninterpreted as a sign of God's blessing, verse 21 says it is actually God's judgment. Paul references the time in Isaiah when the priests and prophets were always drunk and couldn't communicate God's instructions to his people. So he sent foreign people from foreign lands and other tongues to bring judgment on the disobedient Israelites. And so would any inquirer or unbeliever, Paul says in verse 23. They would come in and conclude, these people are mad. They are out of their minds. And every rumor they'd ever heard about Christianity being crazy would be confirmed. No, Paul says, verse 24 to 25, it is better that they walk in while the church is prophesying. Because even though prophecy builds up the believer, it can convict the visitor and have their secrets of their heart laid bare, so they will fall on their knees and exclaim, God really is among you. So, St. Paul's, what kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to be a community that is built up by one another? Or an accidental collection of individuals? Why are you here today? For your own needs or for the needs of others? Because, brothers and sisters, as Paul has pointed out chapter after chapter, church is not just about you. There is a bigger picture. To proclaim the gospel, that the God of creation would rather humble himself and die on a cross so that we could be restored to the right relationship with him instead of condemning us to our own devices, we are to build up the kingdom together, not individually. And in all things, we are to practice the ways of love. Love is not natural to us. Just like learning a new skill, like a musical instrument, it may feel strange. And we may want to give up at times. But if we practice love together, build each other up, not just ourselves, when a visitor peers their head in through the door in curiosity, they will understand why we follow the loving God we follow and be drawn in. Because God truly is amongst us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of relationship, that you want to bring us together so that we can reflect your glory as a united body. Lord, we pray that we as a church will always strive to build up one another. We thank you for all the different gifts you have given to us, and may we always use them in love for you and the love of others. In Jesus' name, amen.